The sky is so starless. Baby, the sky is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Red Light Special. This is episode 14. I am Rob Markman, and to my right is my co-host.
What's up? What's up?
Kristen Carl. She's supposed to say her name there, but 14 episodes in, you think.
I let you say it for me. I've gotten comfortable with that.
Nah, you know what? We're not going to do that no more. Like, this is the last week we're going to do it. You don't say your name, they ain't going to know who you are.
You can't change the rules on the 14th episode.
I sure as hell can. We might change this back to R&B. You don't act right.
What?
What was it? Robin B, the original name?
Listen, we mentioned that to a lot of people, and everybody disagreed with that and didn't like it.
Combat
so.
Jack. Shout out to the Village Voice who profiled us last week, the Red Light Special. If you haven't read that yet, please go support, man. An esteemed publication like the Village Voice came here and wanted to speak to us. So, you know, check that on their website, the Village Voice. I guess you could just Google Village Voice Red Light Special.
Yeah, and shout out to Chris, too, because he wrote a really great article. I feel like, you know, he came to the studio and kind of got to see what Red Light Special is about and talk to us. But when you read it in article form, it's like he really did a great job at piecing it together.
Right. Good. Chris Harris is a dope writer. Thanks for that. I was nervous, though, like, just me being a journalist myself, like, I had to let go. I had to just be interviewed and not worry about like how it was going to come out or which quotes he was going to use. And, you know, that was just me being cautious or whatever. But I let caution to the wind, man. He killed it, man.
Yeah, so, definitely did.
Shout out to him and shout out to Jake and Papa, man, for our intro theme music, Starless, which you can get on their new album, Sexual Warfare, which is on their SoundCloud right now. And they have a show coming up, right, Chris?
Yep, September 8th.
Yep, September
8th. SOBs. That's going to be good.
In New York City, because everybody who listens to this podcast is not from New York City. So just in case you think, maybe there's a SOBs in Tennessee or something. It's not the SOBs in Tennessee, it's SOBs in New York City.
Of course.
Yeah, Jake and Pop are coming through. And they're going to be our guests next week
right on
the Red Light Special. I feel confident in saying that. Sometimes I don't like to shout out a guest too far in advance because...
Yeah, but it's Jake and Papa. A lot of people ask us also our intro song, Starless. Everybody always asks us, you know, where can we find the song? I've been looking for it and I can't find it anywhere. And now it's available on Sexual Warfare. So I know a lot of people are newly put on to Jake and Papa. And so for them to come to New York City, to be able to come to our show and kind of talk to us and get, you know, in-depth conversation and then to see them perform the following day is going to be really good.
Yeah, man.
So, I want to see them do 187.
Yeah, check them
out. If you're listening, Jake and Papa, you must do it.
And, yeah, you're going to want to check out that SOB show as well as part of BET Music Matters. And there may be a very special headliner performer, co-headliner that week, too. But I don't want to blow it up. But check it out. Definitely check it out. Chris, what's up with you, man? I feel like I ain't see you in a little bit. What you did this weekend?
I actually went to Jersey this weekend. I spent an entire day with Wendy McKenzie. If you're not familiar with her, she casted Natori Norton, who was our guest. She's Tasha from Power. And she casted her in Notorious, the Biggie movie. So it was interesting to take a class with both of them. And we did a bunch of cold reads and group skits. And I got to act out a scene from Power. I was Lakeisha, so I was Lala.
Okay.
And I had a partner who played Tasha, and we did the scene basically where Lala tells her that she slept with Sean.
Okay.
You know, and she was like, it was good. You know, I just thought you should heard it from me. So we did that scene, and it was interesting because it was a little bit out of my element, but I got...
What was out of the element about it?
Because it's like... I was Lakeisha, you know, Lakeisha in Power, she sleeps with everybody that Tasha gets with. So, like, Tasha tells her, like, it's just like we was in, you know, high school, you know, you just want him all for yourself.
You just call Lala a hoe?
Listen, in real life, I would never sleep with my friend's, you know, ex or man or even if it was a one-night stand, if you slept, listen, I'm not touching that. So, it was out of my element, but it was super fun. That's what acting's all about. You know, you step out of your comfort zone, you become vulnerable, and you become that character. You can't judge the character just because it's something that you wouldn't do in real life. You know, that's basically what it is. And Natori and Wendy actually complimented me and my partner and said it was the first scene of the day that stayed in character throughout the whole scene. So I was like, you know, it was fun. It was interesting.
So you're going to be on Power season 3?
I'm trying. Listen, okay. You know, if they need a Latina on Power, I'm all in.
Okay.
If they need another Angela.
You're going to have to just wear like a red light special shirt or something. There got to be some promo for, you know, this podcast that of made course. It happen. Nah, that's dope, man. Like,
and Wendy listens to it. So, and shout out to Scott, too, because Scott, Wendy's son, is actually the one who listens to Red Light Special. And he posted it on her Instagram because she's new to Instagram. So she kind of doesn't know how to use it. And he came up to me. He was at the class and he's like, you know, I listen to you every week. I got my mom to listen to it. And then Natori was talking about it at the class. So a couple people asked me about it. And, you know, shout out to Jersey, man. It was a good day.
Let me find out our podcast is popping. Village Voice, you know, Wendy, famous casting director, listen to it. I'm about that. You did that. This weekend was fun for me. I went out to go see Chris Brown.
At Jones Beach.
Yeah, Jones That's Beach right. on Sunday, the One Hell of a Night tour. So it was Chris Brown was the headliner, Kid Ink, Omarion, Teyana Taylor, Fetty Wap, and
I
Migos.
Saw your tweets. Didn't he also bring out Jewels?
Yeah, yeah.
He brought out Jewels.
Chris definitely brought out Jewels, which was dope. I thought he was going to let Jewels get like a mini set because the crowd was so amped when Jewels came out. They did Back to the Crib.
Oh, that's a good one.
But, you know, I was like, man, can we get like a Dipset anthem one time? But
how long did the show run?
Chris was on for like a good 2 hours.
Yeah, because Chris has... Yo, tracklist is
the funny thing about Chris Brown, and I get so much heat because I'm a big Breezy fan, and, you know... dude is highly controversial, made a lot of mistakes in his life for sure. And you cannot like him as a person, but when it comes to the music and that discography, like, yo, he went for 2 hours and it was hit after hit after hit after hit. Like, he was doing things like Popping, Run It, he did Take You Down, you know, and he dances, he sings a little bit, you know, he ain't sing through the whole thing. It wasn't like...
It's well, his performances are, like, he's always been known for that, for his dancing. I think people look past it a little bit, you know, but yeah, at one point they almost, I mean, they kind of did name him, like, the next MJ, you know what I mean? Like, the younger MJ, but listen, this guy's been around since I was a teenager. I was listening to Run It and Poppin' and, you know, when I was in these little fake relationships and stuff, so.
Fake? They was real until y'all broke up.
Yeah, you're right, I guess.
Yeah, nah, but shout out to Chris and shout out to Kid Ink and DJ L Will, man. It was good seeing y'all last night. That was one hell of a show. Another concert I'm looking forward to going to coming up in a couple of weeks, man. Hopefully we can make it out is The Weeknd.
Yeah, I heard he's doing Barclays.
Yeah, he's doing Barclays. Right? I think he's doing MSG too for you know, he's touring his album, right? Which is out this week, Beauty Behind the Madness.
Yep.
We said we were going to talk about it this week. Last week, we touched on it a little bit because somebody here had the leaked version. That somebody was me. but everybody hadn't caught up yet. But
I don't listen to leaks, so I wasn't with it.
I normally don't, but it was The Weeknd, man. I'm a huge fan. What did you think?
I think I'm really happy for one reason. Considering he came out with I Can't Feel My Face, I had a feeling that this album would be really pop-like, and it wasn't. I feel like he had a good blend of a little bit of pop records, and then he still incorporated that Echoes of Silence and you know, that whole trilogy that he did. He still incorporated songs that had that dark, you know, kind of moody, but it's almost like he's maturing in it, so you get a different side of it. But I thought it was phenomenal from start to finish. I didn't skip any songs. The lyrics, Jamie was here from This Is R&B last week. And well, the week before, actually, 2 weeks ago or last week.
Last week.
So Jamie had mentioned that he thinks the lyrics were still going to always cater to the fans. Like, the lyrics is something that The Weeknd, whether he goes pop or not, it's always going to cater to his fan base. And it did just that. You know, the lyrics are, I mean, I can quote at least 10 lines from every song. You know, it's still The Weeknd. Listen,
I'll put you on the spot.
What'd you think about it?
I mean, I'm a Weeknd fan. I think the album is dope. Like, even when it starts off, like when it starts off with Real Life, it kind of gave me like almost like a trilogy feel. And you know, that's coming from me. I was disappointed by Kissland.
Yeah,
I thought Kissland was a little bit rushed and all over the place, and this one felt like he took his time. And it's crazy to see him evolving as an artist. Like, you know, he was this guy who did this one thing very well. It was just like these tragic, dark love songs, right? And he kind of teased us a little bit, even on the trilogy, with kind of the MJ stuff, because he redid Dirty Diana, you know, back on, I was on Echoes of Silence. It was like the first track on Echoes of Silence. But, you know, it doesn't feel like, it feels like his own thing. Like, obviously, you're going to get the MJ comparisons from Can't Feel My Face, and, you know, the VMA performance, you know, was I thought he was
dancing.
I thought he was going to light his hair on fire like MJ did in the Pepsi.
You know what I
love?
The red lights. And not just because I'm being biased, because our show is Red Light Special, but I thought it was just awesome to see him, you know, in that element. And he was dancing on that stage. Like, you've never seen The Weeknd perform and dance. I mean, he was jumping. It's like he was really embracing his whole, you know, new character. Because I feel like, you know, this is really a new Weeknd, even though it's still The Weeknd. It's a different side of him. And I just, I don't know. It was crazy to see.
Nah, I rock with it. I'm trying to get to that show, that Beauty Behind the Madness show. I don't know. I know, you know, I might just buy my ticket, man. I feel like, you know, sometimes that's voting.
So hi, Abel.
Yeah. nah, man, that's what's up. And then we had one of our listeners, right? One of our faithful listeners. She's fan, man, at this time. Shannon Glennon. Shan Glennon is her Twitter name. She hits us up every week. Just full of support and love and positivity. And she wrote a Weeknd review, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you read it?
You know what I liked? I did read it. But what I really liked is that she actually sent us an email, and she spoke a little bit about how ever since this podcast, we kind of like encouraged her to start writing again. I had no idea that she ever wrote, like that she was into writing. But she said she used to do reviews, and she kind of stopped doing them all together, and ever since the podcast, she just wanted to get back into it. So this is actually the first review that she's done in, I believe, years, she said. So she did a little recap on The Weeknd's album, and it was really extensive and detailed and very well written. You know, Shannon, I applaud you, because that was very impressing.
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't get through the whole thing yet, but I will. I'll definitely hit you back. She asked us, you know, just if we could shout out, and for sure, definitely check it out. Did she say what site we could find it on?
She has it on Tumblr, actually. So I have the link. I'm going to share it on the podcast Twitter page, which is at RLS Podcast. And I'm going to tweet the link so you guys can all, you know, click it, read it. Shout her out. She did an amazing job on it. But it's shannonrosereviews.tumblr.com. That's Shannon with two N's, rosereviews.tumblr.com.
Okay, that's what's up, man. Shout out to Shannon. Thanks for the support. I think we should just get right into it, you know, for this week with our guests, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Nah, man. I'm definitely excited. Definitely family. Fam to the room. This young lady is a singer and a songwriter, man. Last year, she released the EP called The Fall that I wasn't aware of. Chris put me on to it. I'm usually the one, like, in my friend group, like in all of our friends group, like putting people on the music. So I always appreciate, or at least that's how I feel like, and I always appreciate when somebody taps me and be like, nah, you should check this out. And they do, and it's actually like dope. So Chris had hit me up and said, hey, you know, there's this young singer songwriter, and she got a project you should check out called The Fall. And I checked it out, and it was dope. So I knew once we started this podcast, we always talked about from the first episode having her up and just figuring out the right time to do it. And today is the right time to do it. So please welcome to the Red Light Special, Tangina Stone. What's up?
Gina.
Hey, guys. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. This is like, you know what I love about this? And Rob, shout out to you, because, you know, you probably get so many hit ups every single day. Like, listen to this, listen to that. But I remember sending him The Fall EP, and that same day he went on Twitter and was like, yo, I love it. And I didn't ask him to do that. Don't get it twisted. I didn't ask him to do that. I just sent it to him like, yo, I have this friend, she's dope as shit. And that same day he was shouting you out on Twitter like, yo, this is an amazing project. Like, everybody should go listen. And I feel like that's kind of what separates you from everybody, because you catch on to people from the start. You know what I mean? It's not like you ride the bandwagon afterwards. So I think for you to do that was just amazing.
Nah, but it's just about, and one of the reasons you're here is it's about good music, right? And great music. And, you know, good music, great music doesn't always have 100,000 Twitter followers. Mm-hmm. Like, doesn't always have a million plays on YouTube. Like, you know, isn't always signed to a major label.
Yeah.
Like, and I believe, so I think a lot of people in the industry look for those thresholds to determine whether something is good or not.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I got ears.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I got a heart. Like, I could feel something, like, or not feel it, or it could speak to me or not speak to me. And I think we overcomplicated it with metrics. And you're obviously somebody who's on the rise, and I see your profile growing. Like, every time I check in, like, oh, what's Jangina doing? It feels like it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Let's go back to the beginning, though.
Okay.
You're from Ohio?
Yeah, I'm from Ohio. I'm from Canton, Ohio.
Okay.
It's like the Akron-Canton area where LeBron James is from. Same place.
Did you burn the LeBron James jersey the first time that he left?
Not at all.
That wasn't you on the news?
No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was everybody else, though. I was here when it happened. Was a little upset about it at first, but happy that he
came LeBron
home.
Move.
Yeah, I was a little upset. Everyone was a little upset. It was just the investment that the community really made in him. Because LeBron played basketball since he was elementary school, and he was always, like, phenomenal. He always stood out. Right. And so the community invested a lot in him to support him. And we, you know, I remember watching his games, in middle school games. And so, like, when he did that, everyone just felt kind of abandoned. And it was like, it wasn't really so much about the basketball. It's just that he was a role model and what he represented for our area in Ohio, and it's a pretty tough place right now, so he was a role model and we needed that. So that's the reason why I was disappointed when he left. It wasn't about basketball for me, but as much as I was disappointed, I was extremely, extremely, like, taken back when he came back home. And the reason why was amazing, that he knew Ohio needed him, and it wasn't just a sports thing. It's like his connection to Ohio, and that, you know, what we needed from him, and that was awesome.
Let me ask you a question then.
Yeah.
You're in Brooklyn now.
Yeah.
When did you come to Brooklyn? When did you come from Ohio to Brooklyn?
2009, okay. Late 2009, right after high school graduation, I came here.
Okay. And did Ohio, the Canton, Akron, did they burn your CDs? And
No, they didn't.
They didn't riot when you left?
No, they didn't riot. They didn't riot, but I was very angry at the place I grew up at, up in, whenever I came here. So it was like, I wanted to get out. Now I appreciate where I came from a lot more than I did back then.
Is it a small place?
It's Canton, Ohio. It's like, the population's like 80,000, 90,000 people. But like I said, we're the Akron-Canton area. So it's like LeBron James's city is Akron, mine's Canton, and it's all connected. And then we're very close to Cleveland, too. So it's just the Northeast Ohio area. And I was just very frustrated being there, because being an artist, I didn't feel supported. I didn't feel like I had the opportunities that I needed to have while I was there. And it was very, very discouraging. Like, Canton, Ohio is really dangerous now. So it's like the number three most dangerous small city in America to live. I think it's actually number two now. Recently, I think I read that it's number two. But it's like, I don't know, everything was taken away from us bit by bit. Like, every poetry slam that we had, every, like, live concert space that we had, everything was just, like, taken away slowly in it. So it became very, like, depressing for an artist when you have nowhere to express yourself. And, like, you live in a city where, you know, like, the youth is just viewed as, you know, horrible little monsters. And so we need to be at home, not anywhere out enjoying ourselves or being creative. So I was angry when I left. Now I appreciate where I came from a lot more, but when I left, it was like, bye.
I didn't know Ohio was even like that. I always just thought of Ohio as a very, like, I mean, like you said, they took everything away. So I do think that, you know, Ohio is a place where you kind of need to get out of in order to grow.
Yeah.
How has that transition been from going from Ohio to a place like Brooklyn in New York, where opportunity is literally on every corner?
Yeah. I mean, it's very tough, because I came from being the one to one of many. It's like, where I'm like I was and am still like a hometown celebrity. So it was like, when I was home, everybody knew who I was because of what I did, because I was one of the only people who constantly did it, and consistently, like, just kept performing. I was, like, in musicals and plays, all kinds of shows. And then, like, in high school, I was, like, homecoming queen. I was valedictorian, all those things. So it's like, that kind of stuff was a huge deal and to people at home. And so they watched me grow, you know, since I was a little girl in elementary school. So I came from that to coming here to just being, like, you know, lumped in with a million other artists and trying to find ways to differentiate myself. And also, trying to find ways to become viable, to become popular while still staying true to myself and still staying true to my vision for my music. It was easy, the easiest way for me to make it when I came here. You know, I had situations with record labels before when I first got here, and it would have been really easy to take those opportunities. However, I would have been a sex symbol in R&B, and that's not really me. My music's more than just sex. It's
way
like
more, yeah.
Everyone makes music, not everyone, but people often make music for the bedroom and for the streets and all these things, but I make music for the people. It's like it's different. It's not just one of those specific things. So it's like it's very easy to lose yourself so much that you never really find yourself at all when you come here from a place like Ohio. So it was like a challenge for me to remember my roots, to remember where I came from, and to remember why I initially had the dream of coming to New York. And so like that was important to remember that.
Who were some of the people that influenced you musically coming up and that helped guide who you are today?
My influences then and now are still the same. Like Sade, Jill Scott, Lauryn Hill, and Stevie Nicks are probably my number one and two.
Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, Stevie Nicks. My mom's a huge, huge Stevie Nicks fan, and Fleetwood Mac fan. So I grew up listening. My mom is like very much like hip hop R&B head, right? So my mom is like this little short white lady. She's like 5 feet tall, and like she walks down the street, she'd be bumping her headphones, listening to like hip hop and R&B. And so like I remember like singing Lauryn Hill in the back seat in my car seat in the car, singing "Killing Me Softly," like "Killing Me Salty." That's how I said it, and like that's the kind of music I listen to. But then the only kind of rock and roll you would ever hear played by my mother was Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac. That was it. So that's what I listened to like as a kid, and I just loved it. Love her music, and was extremely, extremely inspired by her, because I've always known that like my music is very much rooted in soul. Some people say neo-soul, some people say R&B, but like to me it's like rooted in soul. But also I know that there's another element to it that's definitely rock.
Yeah,
I don't really very often give my music a genre. I'd much rather other people interpret it how they would like to. I feel like me putting my music in a box stops it from reaching, you know, everyone. And I'd much rather a person listen to it and interpret it how they would like to. So if you hear my music and it sounds like electronic to you, and that works for you, and that works for me too.
Yeah.
But some people, most people, hear R&B and hear rock.
And we have an R&B podcast, and we kind of label it so, you know, it fits in a nice section.
Yeah.
And iTunes, shout out to iTunes.
Uh-huh.
You know, people kind of know how to classify it. But I kind of feel what you're saying, because it lends itself to this generation. I think we're moving into a genreless generation. I think it's impossible to be just a hip-hop fan
yeah.
in 2015, or just an R&B fan when we're like the generation of playlists, and it's just like you'll put together a bunch of songs that inspire you. I mean, I don't even, like, what's Fetty Wap? Is he a rapper? Is he a singer? Like
trap.
I don't know what to classify,
exactly.
But I know I like it.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's really, really important to be open in that aspect. Like, I know, like, for me, one thing, especially like with The Fall, what was really important for me with The Fall was making sure that it was a project that I could put out that everyone could play, from young to old. And it was important for me to be able to play it for kids, because the youth is extremely important to me. And in the grand scheme of things, like, I plan to like have a music program for kids. Like, that kind of stuff is really important for me, because that's kind of like what saved me, what, you know, got me to where I am right now. But then I also wanted music that my grandmother could play as well. And so, like, it was important for me to do that. And I feel like, you know, accomplishing that, part of it was just not in my head, not having a specific genre. I wasn't thinking like, oh, I want this music to sound like R&B or soul or rock. I want this to be good music. And so that's why I even keep the curse words to a minimum in my records, because I don't want kids to listen to. I want them to be able to sing along, and I don't want them to have to sing along and skip parts, or like, it just, it makes things less complicated. And I also feel like as an artist, if I have a curse word in my song, it's because I feel like when you're having a conversation and you're cursing, that's okay, because when you're having a conversation, your responses are quick, you're thinking fast. But me as a songwriter, it's very important for me to always exercise my songwriting skills, like, to the fullest extent. And I feel like I can revise and revise and revise as much as I want and make this sound great. So I'm sure that there's a way that I can figure out a way to replace that curse word I was thinking in my head. And then if I can't, or if, like, I'm trying to evoke a certain kind of emotion by saying that curse word, then I'll say it.
Then fuck it.
Exactly. Fuck it. There we go. Yeah. All right. That's how I do it. So it's like, that kind of stuff's important to me. And like, oh, if I have a record and it has a curse word, my grandma would say, why'd you say that? I'm like, well, I was pissed off. Right. So I had to, the only way I could display that was by saying whatever the hell I said. And that's, it makes
dope.
Sense.
That's super
and it'll
dope.
Fit as opposed to always having curse words in every song.
Yeah,
and
they have to, for me,
bit.
It just has to have a purpose. I want it to have a purpose, or else I'm going to like find a way to say it without having the curse. Because that's just cheating for me. So
I think it's laziness too.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, you're a songwriter. So if you're writing a song and you just write like fuck,
yeah.
as opposed to actually explaining what made you angry at that moment.
Exactly.
And going a little bit more in depth. I think that's what creative writing, you know, is all about.
Yeah, it's like, for me, I think when I think about it, a person who I think is really, really awesome at that is Kendrick Lamar. Like, I mean, even his, this dick ain't free. Like, a rapper could say that in a record, like, this dick ain't free, ma. Like, and it would be, it mean nothing. But Kendrick's saying, you have to understand what I'm saying.
Yep.
This dick ain't free. It's not.
As she
at
points
all.
Down. I love like, this.
And so you get it. You understand what he's saying a lot more. And like, I'm okay with it. But like, if I heard it in another record, I'd probably be like, that was kind of a weak line.
If it's like a trap record.
Exactly. It's like,
This dick ain't free.
Yeah, this dick ain't free. It's not. It
Rob
was.
Is always killed singing it. On this podcast. Nah, I love
wasn't
it.
Singing. That was rapping. That was shaving. Nah.
Really? Oh, he was singing.
Sing, I
trap
love it,
rapping.
I could sing, though.
Yeah, you can.
In the shower. so
good place to do it.
Yeah, I'm saying. You sing.
Yeah.
You write.
Yes.
And you play instruments as well, right?
Yeah, I play guitar. I'm not like a master guitarist. I used to play piano and keyboard when I was a kid. And my grandfather was teaching me, and I quit partly in like just rebellion towards him. He's the only musician in my family, and like, you know, you get to that age, you just want to rebel. There's no specific reason why, but I went to rebel. And then the other reason was that when I was a kid, I was compared to Alicia Keys all the time, still am. But like, when I was a kid, I used to literally wear cornrows in my hair, and so me playing piano and looking, and as a young kid, I already knew, like, I was in fourth grade, I think, when I finally decided one day. I was like, listen, like, there is already one of her, and if I have any shot at this at all, I've got to separate myself from Alicia Keys.
So you knew that in fourth grade?
I knew right away. I started, and like, at first I didn't know how to deal with that feeling, because people would say it to me all the time. Even like, my basketball jersey in school said Keys. That was my basketball name. And it was just so annoying to me.
What, you played for the N1 league?
Huh?
I said,
yeah,
you played
for
the N1 league?
I played elementary, middle school, high school. But like, I get annoyed by people saying it all the time. So then people would think that, you know, they're complimenting me, and I was ungrateful as a kid. Like, I remember so many people telling my grandma, like, she looks so gorgeous, look just like Alicia Keys, sound just like Alicia Keys when she sings. And I'd just be like, no, I don't. Right. And
you
then they look at my
person.
Grandma like, yeah, my grandma, what's wrong with her? She's disrespectful. I just understood that I had to separate myself.
That's dope to have that presence of mind. I mean, I can see, I don't think you look like Alicia
Keys.
Yeah,
I mean, but
I can see the resemblance of how the industry and how people,
I understand
it
too. But that's on me to separate myself.
Especially when you have your braids, because I've seen you with your little braids.
Yeah, exactly.
You definitely resemble Alicia Keys. I see that.
I see why people say it too, but it's like, I know that it's my responsibility to make sure that I separate myself, because she's already there. So she's already where she needs to be, and I'm trying to get where I need to be. So in order to do that, like, it's on me to ultimately like separate myself. And it's not really hard to do, because we're not a lot alike. We're very different. And that's the reason why I started playing guitar and stopped playing keys. So another reason
you're Wyclef.
Yeah, I mean, I taught myself guitar. It was also like, it was also so that I didn't have to ask anybody else to play for me. That becomes annoying when you have a record and it's like, hey, I need someone to play these chords, and you try to get them to find what you're envisioning, but you can't. So like, the best way to do it is for me to take an idea that I've already played and have basic chords, and then show my band and then, or producer, and then they can add to it, rather than the other way around. Because like, my music is, if I have a specific vision, it's, I've had records I've recorded four different ways, because it's like, I didn't like any of the other versions of it, and I got the best version of it whenever I actually like played the music on it.
It's interesting you say that because I've seen you perform so many times. Yeah. But you always have your band with you.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the creative process, being in the studio, recording music, recording songs, mm-hmm. how does that work? Is it ever like a conflict between you guys or?
There's never really a conflict because I run the show. So it's not really a conflict. It's really like it's important. My band is my band because like I chose them and I respect them and love them and they play great and I want them to travel with me and to play my shows. If anybody's going to be playing music for me, I want it to be them. However, I'm a solo artist. So it's like they're at the end of the day, technically speaking, they're still musicians for hire. So they play what I ask them to play. There are times when I ask them, when I give them the freedom, you know, as I trust them more and more, like I give them a lot of freedom at shows now. But my band didn't always have, they have more freedom now, like to play around and do solos or whatever the hell they want. But it wasn't always that way. It took a lot of shows. Like we've had to play a lot of shows together for me to trust them and to know that they fully understand what I'm trying to do. And what I want my music to sound like as well. So it's never really a conflict because they don't really volunteer their opinion unless I ask for it. They're starting to get to that point now where it's like, oh, hey, you know, does this sound okay? I'm like, yeah, but like they definitely like respect my opinion as well because these are my songs. So they know they want to do them justice, basically.
That's good.
So it's never, we don't really have conflicts about things like that ever.
I don't want to be in your band. I was gonna
my band.
I play the triangle, but now
Rob's a little scared.
Yeah,
man.
Now I'm scared.
You scared him off, Tanger.
But you've been playing shows in Brooklyn recently, right? Talk about that.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of shows, period, everywhere. But most recently, I have a residency at a new venue called Come On Everybody in Brooklyn, and I chose the location. We did a show there. It was awesome for Bedford Box Office, Wax Poetics. It was an amazing show. And the owner of it owned another space that I performed at before. So we had to talk about doing a residency there. And I liked it a lot because it's in Bed-Stuy, which is my neighborhood. And like Bed-Stuy just is, Brooklyn and Bed-Stuy specifically are very, very dear to me. I found myself in Bed-Stuy. Like I've learned so many things about myself. When I moved here, I didn't know one person in this whole city. And so it took like a very long time to develop like a group of friends or like any connection that I've made here. It's very interesting to when you know that every single person that's in your life, you invited to be there.
Right.
Every single person that I know, like I chose them. And because when I came here, I knew no one. When you're at home from your hometown, you're around people you don't want to be around all the time. But everybody I have in my life, I chose. Every place I've been, I've chose to be there. So it's like Bed-Stuy taught me so much, and I've learned so much about myself with my music, just with my strengths, my weaknesses, all those things. So it was important for me to like have a residency somewhere in Brooklyn, but specifically Bed-Stuy. So it's nice to be there, and I'm excited about it. Our shows are doing really well there. We're having a good time. We're playing a lot more though. I'm doing the Brooklyn Wildlife Festival on the 7th, on Labor Day. It's going to be at 9:30 at Cameo Gallery. I'm doing that show. 8:30. Sorry, I thought 9:30. 8:30. And then we're doing another show, actually, this coming Friday, on the 4th. I'm playing at the Howard Theater in D.C.
Howard Theater.
Yeah, that's good. We're excited about that.
So what's Who's up, hosting DC? That?
It's a neo-age showcase, so it's like a soul and R&B showcase. They're saying, like, we're the new age of soul and R&B. Like these, so it's pretty cool. Like, all the artists, they're, I want to say like alternative R&B, you know, like on iTunes, they're put in that category of R&B, right. But like they're alternative R&B, like, and that's, it's interesting that they view all of us as the new age of it. It's really cool.
Mm. I don't see the lie. Well, I don't know who else is on the bill, but I know you're definitely.
Well, I know, I forget her name, but there's somebody on that flyer that I know through my girlfriend, Courtney, mm-hmm. who's in LA now, but I've been to the Howard Theater. It's a great place.
Yeah.
And I definitely,
it's a place that we've all wanted to, my band, they're elated, like they're beyond excited to play mm-hmm. there. It's everybody's like dream venue to play.
Yeah, and if you're it's in awesome. DC, it's like the place to
yeah,
be. So
yeah, it's yeah. awesome. I'm really excited about it. It's my first time playing DC, so
yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah,
and you have a new single out too, right, on iTunes?
Yeah,
Wasn't Love Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Just released that record It's funny. We released it with Feel Up Records, with the record label I just signed my contract with. And it's produced by my good friend. His name's Teddy. He calls himself Ted Birdie. He actually produced Suntan as well on on the Fall EP. So that song was just super, super interesting how it even came about. Sometimes you don't understand the influence or power that your art has on other people. Like, I didn't think that record was going to be it. Like, I didn't think it was a single. And then I just ended up sending to the record label, just like snippets of a bunch of songs. And I was just like, hey, choose one that you guys think you like. If you don't like them, then hey, I don't know. But if you like something here, then we'll do that single and work on it. But of all those records, I did not think Was in Love was going to be it. But people actually love that record. So it felt really good because that record, we wrote it in 15 minutes. And yeah, we wrote it in 15 minutes. My friend Teddy was showing me, like, he plays bossa nova guitar. It's his favorite style of guitar to play. And so he was just, like, showing off one day, just, like, riffing on his guitar. And I just started writing lyrics. And we were having a conversation about our exes, about our past relationships, and about how it's interesting when you're in a relationship, you think that something's love, and then you don't realize that it's not until after you're out of it already. And then, like, the guitar he was playing, we both said at the same time, man, it's like we're in a Brazilian cafe right now. So that's kind of how Wasn't Love Cafe came
that's
along.
Dope.
Yeah, it was silly. It was, like, super early in the morning and we were groggy. So, like, oh, Wasn't Love Cafe. Sounds like a good idea. And then, I don't know, it became our official title. So
I love that, because you talk about, you know, again, that you think that something is one way, but then when you actually step out of it and you get to reflect,
yeah,
you realize it was something else.
Yeah.
And you have a line in it that towards I think it's the middle.
Yeah.
When you say, like, old people, when they hold hands, when they truly love each other.
Oh, yeah.
I think that really symbolizes the whole meaning of the entire
exactly.
record.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Know. That line, if you would have held my hands the way people do with their fingers intertwined when they love each other, that's the line you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That's actually the line that sums the song up for me. Besides that, the second line would be like just when they love each other at the end, because that's you don't think about it often, but if in relationships, when two people love each other, they treat each other well, you know what I mean? And if you don't, then my definition of love is when things are reciprocal. So if I love you, I'll treat you well, and if you love me, you'll treat me well. If you're not treating me well, you don't love me in the way that I need you to. So this is not my love story. This is not the love for me. But if we both loved each other, we treat each other well. In the same way, if people who we don't even know each other, but if we loved each other, we'd treat each other well. So it's just like interesting to sit and think on how much different that the world would be, your relationships would be, life would be, if we all loved each other. If we did. It's kind of impossible, but if we did, things would be much different and we'd all be a lot more happy. So that's like kind of why at the end I let it drift off with when they love each other over and over and over again, just so people think about it. Like, if we all loved each other, would there be homeless people on the street? If we all loved each other, would anybody need anything? No, they probably wouldn't, because we love each other.
So. Yeah, but we live in America and we're greedy and we're selfish and we're moody.
Exactly.
So
damn.
It's still
got
that.
Mad political.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Kanye
but it's
the president,
still 2020. It's still good to think about it, you know?
Yeah,
at least for me, or dream about it, you know.
So you're working on the new project. This single is going to lead up to a new album or EP?
Yeah, I'm working on a full length project right now. I'm playing around with the idea ideas for the title of the project. I originally wanted to call it Cultural Studies, and it's because, like, I'm in school still, and I study contemporary music and cultural studies at the New School. So just studying cultural studies has taught me so much and opened my eyes in ways that are frustrating but extremely, like, helpful and, like, pertinent, and it's awesome. And so I've just learned a lot of things that, like, kind of piss me off, but in a way that doesn't just, not like anger that just, you know, cripples you and you just sit there and sit in it is no good, but anger that, you know, gives you motivation and passion to do something about whatever's making you angry is a good thing. So, like, the Black Lives Matter movement, for instance, like, I became very involved in that since I've started school at the New School. And I've just learned so many things that I want to talk about. I want to start conversations about. So the project will be called that. I think will be called that. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea behind it is just to make people angry, but make people get up and think. because we don't do that enough.
And become aware, which is, I think, what Kendrick Lamar did with To Pimp a Butterfly.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, like that's...
So you make it musical, but you also make it something that you can learn from.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Inspiring.
Exactly.
You know, to do
like,
better.
Even my record, I have a new record called Control that I've played at my shows. People, everyone loves, and they're waiting for it to come out. It's going to be my next single. And it's produced by Crystal Canes, actually. Crystal is like a really dope... producer. She produced records with Melanie Fiona. She works with ASAP Ferg and ASAP Mob, all of them. She has like a record out actually with ASAP Ferg called White Line. That's really, really dope. It's her featuring ASAP Ferg.
Okay.
But she's an amazing producer, and it's also just kind of, I'm a feminist, so it's awesome to team up with another female, and she's my friend. So like the record just sounds very feminine but like strong. And the record Control, everyone who listens to it thinks that it's a love song, because like the hook of it is, I'm in control of you and you control me too. So it's like everyone thinks, oh my gosh, this must be like a very volatile relationship, you know, that's happening. And it's, the song's actually not about love, it's about it's about addiction. So the whole point of it is that addiction is so strong and so powerful, but you could compare it to your greatest love.
Right.
Even after you beat it, you know, way down the line, you can compare that bond that you have with whatever you're addicted to your greatest love, because that's how much of a hold that it has on you. And so, like, I never really tell anyone until after. I've only done it one time, actually, at a show, because the whole point is, like, that I play it and see how you interpret it. I ask the crowd what they thought of it, or what kind of song is this? And then I reveal to them what it's about, because it's like people should be more aware. Those things, you know what I mean?
That's dope. I mean, because so often we go to R&B music for, and you touched on this earlier, for love songs, for something to play in the bedroom, and that's great, and I think we need that. I think we need more love songs. But you know, you have artists like Marvin Gaye, like R&B is just not that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it can be socially aware. Like, so you have artists like you know, Marvin Gaye, you know, some of the things that John Legend does, Bob Marley. You know, where this music can really define and lead a generation. So
exactly.
It kind of seems like that's where you're going with it. I definitely applaud that.
Thank you. That's how I feel. I feel like there's so much going on that, like, I personally don't have time to be, like, invested in making music that doesn't have anything to offer to what's going on. There's no remedy to what's going on. So it's, like, just me... I know my purpose. Like, I'm very aware of what my purpose is in music. And, like, the fact that I make music, the fact that I'm able to do it, like, I have to do it genuinely, like, 100% genuinely. Like, if I have a love song, I want this love song to be, like, lovey-dovey. I want it to be the love song. Like, Reasons. I wanted Reasons to be a record that made you want to roll around in flowers in love. And, like, that was my goal,
that's
because
exactly
that makes people...
what happened to me when I
Do you know that the first time I ever heard Reasons, you played it live for me in your apartment.
Oh,
I don't know
if you
remember.
You came over. Yeah, I remember.
So we were doing a show. Shout out to Gene. Shout out to Vladimir.
Yes.
Vladimir, unfortunately, homies, cannot be here tonight because he's in Paris.
Yeah.
But
that's Japan. Oh, yeah. He's all over.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. That man is so talented. Living but if you don't know about Glad, I Am New York Made is his brand. And he does
and
a lot.
Gene is Overdose on Fame.
Overdose on Fame. Yeah. So we were doing an event for Overdose on Fame, and he was launching everything for the clothing line. And so he had me come to Tangina's apartment to kind of, you know, go over what we were going to do, the format for the night. And she just busted out the guitar and she was like, I'm going to play a song for you. And I'm like, okay, you know, let's see it. Let's hear it. I kid you not, maybe 20 seconds into the song, I had to look to the side to who was sitting next to me on the couch. Because I wanted to cry.
Right.
I was so in my feelings.
She
and
was
I'm
tearing
like,
up.
This is how I know that this is heartfelt music, genuine, from the heart, and it has a message, because it took me to a place that I forgot there was even people in the room, people who I had never met before.
Yeah.
I had no idea who Ruby was at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Ruby. And it was, you know, at the end of the song, I had to literally wipe my eye, and I was like, God, please don't cry in front of these people.
I remember you tried to play it off. She was definitely, it was definitely happening.
Got him.
Yeah.
It's important for me, like, and that's why I said one of the reasons why I like Sade is one of my artists who I'm inspired by, because I like when people, one thing, there's not a lot of, like, feedback that, like, I I truly like, I mean, there's a lot of great feedback. There's awesome feedback. People sometimes just tell you what you want to hear. But what I really appreciate is people who really pay attention to, like, the simple details that make everything so much different. So, like, when I sang Reasons, I tried to soothe with my voice. And so, like, when people tell me my voice is soothing and that record's soothing, like, that's what it's meant to do. If you're having a bad day, it's meant for you to listen to it and be inspired and optimistic, you know, in a way that you weren't before. And to be calm and to be soothed and relaxed. So, like, making people feel good, like, is important. Making people smile, making people happy, making people feel inspired to love is really important to me. One of the things that's important, but also, like I said, with this next project, making people aware, in the words of Marvin Gaye, of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So that's really important to me as well.
Super dope. Salute to that. You know, one of the things we want to do on this show, one of our aims is to help people out, right? And right. talk with our listeners who give us a bunch of love. Some of them got some real problems. Like, I say this every week. Like, I'm afraid for you guys. Like, yeah, we going through some things. But somebody got married. Like, somebody, like, emailed us and was like, yo, we got married. Like, they asked us for advice 1 week, and then a couple of weeks later, they're like, oh, we're married. Like,
right.
He said, that's interesting.
The girl wouldn't take his last name. And then eventually, you know, we had, who gave us the insight on that episode?
I don't remember.
Was it Bridget Kelly? No.
Yeah, no. I don't want to get it wrong, so I don't remember.
Because I was saying, you know, maybe... Was it Biz and Eswit? I think it might have been that. Because, we were figuring out... Remember they said volleyball?
Yeah.
And we were thinking Wilson. Oh, it was definitely, Biz and Eswit.
Yeah,
so
he wanted her to take her last name, his last name. She didn't want to do it. And then that was like a sticking point on whether they were going to get married. And so, but they
what
made
they
it.
What did
they do? She ended up taking his last name
and they got married. He wrote us an email. He's like, you know, we were married, blah, blah. I was like, congratulations. Yeah. After hearing the episode, the fact that she ended up taking the last name and they got married was just... like such a good feeling, I think, you know, to be able to help. I don't know if necessarily we helped them out or she even heard it, but
she
would also
hyphenate.
Yeah, that was an option.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's what we do here. Part of what we do is this relationship advice kind of section of the show that we have. And I think Chris has something for this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, sounds good.
Let's do it. Funny because I got a guy one, so I want to go over this with you.
All right.
So he said, hey guys, love the show. Hope all is well with the name is. Well, actually, I'm not going to say the name. He wrote the name, but I'll keep it anonymous.
Say his name. Fuck it. He put in the email. Fuck it.
Sometimes.
It's always good cop, bad cop with me, Ron.
Right.
Let's have some fun.
All right,
fun.
Fuck it. So he said, hey guys, love the show. Hope all is well. The name is Ricardo. So here's the issue.
I don't even think that's his real name. But continue.
Yeah, it might not be, but you never know.
A little sus.
So here's the issue. I work in the entertainment industry and I'm surrounded by beautiful women sometimes. I'm currently involved with someone and everything is well, but when it comes with me working with other women, she's very insecure about it all. She's been hurt before, but not by me, and I understand her position, but it annoys me because I'm legitimately not doing anything with these women that I come in contact with, and we fight about it all the time. So my question is, what can I do to make her feel more secure, even though I am transparent and open like a book? So security issues.
That's a tough one because he said he's transparent and already open like a book. I mean, what I would suggest, when you work in the entertainment business, at times you go to things and you can bring your significant other along with you. I feel like, for instance, like my fiance, Imani. Imani's never been insecure about anything that's happened, like with my career. And I could be, I mean, like, for instance, last year, whenever my record like aired on Love and Hip Hop, right, when it played there, the kind of like direct messages I was getting on Instagram, it was out of control. The things that were happening, like, there were people who, like, sent me pictures of their underwear. There was one girl who sent me a picture of... a picture that was of Imani and I. She cropped my fiancé out and put herself in. And then I went to her page, and every picture... She had posted, like, Woman Crush Wednesday. She had posted, like, 9 pictures of things... Pictures of Imani and I that she had cropped my fiance out of and put herself in, things like that.
Wow.
And so I asked Imani, I was like, babe, how do you feel about that? She's like, honestly, she's like, I am, what'd you say, what was the word you used? No, you didn't say you didn't care. You said, I'm flattered. That's what she said. I'm
that
flattered.
That is so typical. Imani
says, I'm flattered.
I love that about you because you're so you go out to parties and you're so nonchalant. Like, you're so unaware of what's going on around you.
She's not unaware. She's just like, she's trust. We trust each other. So it's
not
like.
I just think you don't care, really. Like, you're, it doesn't faze you, kind of. You know what I mean? You have, like, that very free spirit.
Imani needs a mic. Give Imani a mic.
You guys send the mic. We trust each other. So it's like, we're not in a club. I'm checking for her to see where she's dancing at and who with, and she's checking for me. Like, we trust each other. Mm-hmm. And Imani will say always, like, yeah, we're secure. So she'll say all the time, she'll be like, oh, I'm flattered. You come home with me every night. So carry on. Like, that's it. Like, it's not. But the thing is that she comes to my show. She comes to events with me, you know? So there's never, like, a reason, if she ever did have any questions, you know, with trust in me, there's no reason to, because she comes with me. She meets the women and the men that I'm around. So I feel like if he has an opportunity, my advice, if you have an opportunity to bring your significant other around these women so that she can see that, you know, you're trustworthy, or it may not be you who she doesn't trust, it's them. And at the end of the day, like, women feel a certain way about their men, and to her, you are a man, no matter what. Like, you are a man. So if she's looking at you like that, it's just because you're a man. Don't take it personal.
I don't like
and
the way you just
these are beautiful
that. I just
women.
Took that whole thing personal.
You took it personal. I'm saying that, I'm not saying I agree with it, right. But and I don't date men, but like, I'm not saying I agree with it, but it's that's the reason why I don't think that she's like, she's not coming for him, for who he is, and saying that he's not trustworthy. It's just that she doesn't trust this world. And if she's got a good man, if you're a good man, then you should feel flattered that your lady cares that much. You know what I mean?
Right.
Absolutely.
First of all, shout out to Imani.
Yeah, Imani.
And I hope that shorty that made you Woman Crush Wednesday, every Wednesday, is buying some records too. I hope you got the single.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
I hope she
wasn't
did
Love
too.
Cafe.
Otherwise, I had the blocker, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but
because
I had the blocker.
If not, the Woman Crush Wednesdays don't mean nothing.
Everything.
Man.
Like, she was that much of like a.
It was. She was weird, and she was. She was like, I think, a clothing designer. She was sending me pictures of dresses that she designed that she wanted me to wear. And then she sent me some like blue lingerie that she like designed. It was some really off the wall kind of stuff.
Like that.
Yeah, you do. But she, I don't know. She got blocked. Okay. That was the end of it.
You can still buy the single though.
Yeah, she can still buy it. Go ahead, buy away.
Yeah, that's
don't
crazy.
Come to shows though.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You could stream it on.
Yeah.
You signed the title.
Yeah, don't come to the show, but.
Because Imani may just. You know what? I don't even want to start now. You don't rile crazy.
Start now.
Crazy look. People are crazy. You don't want to rile crazy people. Like,
exactly.
Shout out to her.
back to this guy though.
Yeah.
I think honestly.
I could relate though.
Trust, man. It's all about trust, you know? And
yeah.
Especially if he's open like a book, like you say, that you're very open and you're transparent. And if you've never given her a reason to think anything otherwise, then, you know, it really goes down to the root of just her. You know, she's insecure. And either you guys need to find a way to communicate better, or maybe figure out a way, like Tangina said, you know, bring her around to the events. Of course, you don't have to bring her to every single
event.
You just
have to keep on doing it over. I feel like once you do that a couple times, like, that's it. At the end of the day, no trust, no us. So it's like he has to put his foot down after he does these things. Like right now, he has not given her any reason not to trust him, but he hasn't given her much reason to trust him either if she doesn't know what his environment's like. So I feel like if she's able to see that environment, you officially have given her reason to trust you. So I feel like if at that point, if she still is insecure, then that means that there are some old wounds that are not healing with you that she's got to heal within herself, and you got to put your foot down.
And he did say that
she's
been hurt,
and
not by him.
Yeah.
And I think honestly, it's not okay to bring your baggage into a new relationship.
No, it's not
at all.
No.
You know, yes, be a little bit aware.
Everybody has baggage. That's easy.
Yeah,
said
but you
than
can't.
Done.
You can't. Impact, like, you can't imply that on somebody else. I can't meet somebody today, and because somebody cheated on me 6 years ago, always going to think that they're the cheater. They're a different person.
Yeah,
you know, they don't deserve that.
You don't have your guard up a little bit. Like, I just think it's natural. Like, because we all, like, live based off of our experiences.
Yeah.
But my advice to him, cause, and I mean, I relate well as working as a guy in the industry and being out a lot. It is tough, you know, and you know, at least my advice for him would be, you bring around and stuff like that, and, you know, be transparent, but also be attentive. You know what I'm saying? It's something that I had learned. Like, you know, it's easy to say, yo, I'm not doing this, or yo, I'm thinking of you, or yo, this or that, but actually showing the person too, and you know, sometimes, you know, people may be insecure, your significant other may be insecure because of the way that you make them feel, or actions, or what you don't do. So,
yeah,
you know, be mindful of your actions. Like, we all got to work. I work, you know, I feel like 3 nights out the week. But, you know, those other 2 nights when you're not working, make sure to spend that time, do something special, and you know, make that quality time count as well.
Yeah, I think that was great advice. Being attentive is super, super important.
Yeah, you have to balance everything out. What's that song? Is What You Don't Do? I forget how to pronounce her name. Havana.
Who?
Oh, you bought her record.
I don't know.
It's What You Don't Do. I'm not gonna start singing because I suck at singing. But Imani knows what I'm talking about.
Mm-mm. Yes, I'm lost. Leanne LaHavas.
Yes, oh, there you go. Yeah. It's What You Don't Do. I love that record, but
she's amazing.
That was really good insight, especially coming from you, because you are a male in the industry, so you know how that goes. Say, and again, you know, if somebody has past baggage, you have to listen. When you jump into a new relationship, you have to be willing to open up again. You cannot always have that guard up. Yes, be mindful of the things that one might be capable of. But again, when you know, the whole definition of love is being vulnerable and being accepting and being willing to take a risk. I mean, and,
trusting someone enough to be vulnerable for them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, if it also gets to a certain point, like I said, things should be reciprocal. So if he's putting trust in her, he eventually needs her to trust him as well in some way.
And then, after a point, you just got to be like, all right, this is not going to work out. I did. But as long as you go into it being like, man, you know, I did all I can. I was honest. I was transparent. I was faithful. I gave the right amount of attention. And then, you know, after that, you know, you leave it up to God.
Exactly.
Word. That was good. That's always like my favorite part of the show, man. Like,
yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, man. It's always cool. Because and even as an artist, we get to see like how you think.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite part of the show, though.
Okay.
My favorite part of the show is, especially when we have a female guest. And it's funny because in the beginning we had so many male guests and we were like, you know, even our listeners were like, when are you going to get a female on the show? And now I feel like we've had just this whole avalanche of just female artists come on, which is amazing. And Rob always feels a little way about that. But
the energy in the room is different.
But you do great.
Oh, you're like, outnumbered.
Yeah, I feel like I get ganged up on.
But my favorite part is, I mean, you have so many records that I absolutely love, and you have such a unique voice. I want to hear you sing something for us.
All right.
If you don't mind.
Yeah. What do you want to hear?
That's a good question.
I want to see you cry.
So, reasons. I'm not going to cry. Listen.
You're not going to cry?
I've heard it.
All right. Your eyes are sparkly. You know what?
All right, Mary J. Blige.
But I'm just going to say this, though. My allergies are really bad right now.
Yeah, your eyes are sparkling up right now already.
So if you see like any liquidy substance coming down from them, then just know it's my allergies.
Or maybe you spilled your water bottle.
Yeah, something like that, you know.
All right.
Let's do it.
How much time do I have? I'm going to try to figure out where to start.
I think we got time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Do your thing.
There's something inside of you, and through your eyes it shines through. I feel it in your kiss and embrace. You don't want to fall so quick, but it's okay. I'll give you some reasons that it's a season for our love, and show you the proof that it should be me and you. I'll give you some reasons that it's a season for our love, and show you the proof that it should be me and you.
Y'all gonna make me start crying out this bitch.
Now you're the one crying.
Nah, oh no, Rob's dope. Crying. I wish oh, I could no. see this.
Nah,
no,
he's not crying.
Kristen kept it together.
I had to look away because if I look at her, that's like the breaking point right there. But that is, yo, listen, Tej, that is that beautiful.
Thank you guys. Thank you.
If you guys so aren't on this girl right now, I mean, that pretty much says it all. So listen to the Fall EP. You have your single Wasn't Love Cafe. And also, I know with Come On Everybody, it's a very intimate spot.
Yeah.
So you get to do an intimate set, which I love, and you interact with your fans always.
Yeah, it's awesome to do that sometimes.
But you have a tour coming up, right?
Yeah, well, we're naming the tour still. We have a lot of dates, yeah. We have a lot of dates coming up this fall. We're trying to name the tour right now. We don't have a name for it yet, but we're playing a lot of places. Like I said, D.C., Philly, most likely some more shows back in California. We have a show coming up in Boston. What's at the Middle East? Yeah, the Middle
oh,
East.
Shout out to the Middle
in
East.
Boston. Some great really, venue. Really great. Yeah, some really, really great venues coming up. And when I have a tour name, I'll give it to you guys right away.
Well, let's talk about where they can find you. I want to make sure that I'm sure after people hear this, they're going to come looking for you.
Yeah, for sure.
On Twitter. What's your Twitter name?
Twitter name, Tangina Stone. It's T-A-N-G-I-N-A. Stone, S-T-O-N-E.
Okay. And the Fall EP is on SoundCloud, right?
It's everywhere. It's on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud. Okay. You can pretty much find all of my stuff everywhere if you just look me up online. Okay. We also, for the single that I just put out with the record label, we didn't talk about that much, but Feel Up mm-hmm. Records, where there's a remix for the single that's coming out as well. It's going to be released. It's a really, really cool remix. It's going to come out on the 4th. You can pre-order that as well. It's on iTunes too.
Okay, so dope. So everybody, please go and get that. Go and support independent artists. We love independent artists and just people doing their thing.
We have a website too, right?
Yeah, TanginaStone.com. So TanginaStone.com. Everything is there wherever I'll be in the world. Instagram is Stone Blue. It's STONEBLU _.
Okay, that's what's up.
Easy to
man.
Find.
Yeah, check out. She got the name. It's very Googleable.
Very Googleable.
It's Google friendly. SEO
what did
friendly.
You say, Googleable?
Yeah, I just made that up.
Right. That's not, you should coin that.
That's a nice little sound to
nice
it, right?
Googleable.
Yeah. There we go. I'm going to go work on that
I
right
like
now.
That.
Don't say it while you're drunk, though. That would be.
Could be funny.
Right.
And the BK residency. Time, place, when can they find
yes. it? Every last Tuesday of the month, Come On Everybody in Bed-Stuy. It's on the corner of Franklin and Clifton. What's the exact address of Come On Everybody? 325 Franklin Avenue.
Dope.
Yeah. And they have really awesome $2 tacos next door.
Yes. Right. And Come On Everybody at the bar in front of the stage area, in front of the venue, has amazing whiskey sours. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
For those who like that.
There it is. And Chris.
And punch.
where can they find you at?
Twitter and Instagram, both at Chris Lova, KrisLovaA. Shout out to Mario. He is in the room, and he helped with my website, which is www.kristencoral.com, so you can check out a little bit of everything that I've done up on there.
Dope.
And you, Rob?
Shout out to Mario. Yeah, me, at Rob Markman, RobMarkMan. On Twitter and Instagram, you know, always hit up genius.com. That's the new home. That's where we're doing it at now.
Hey.
Yeah, man.
Rob
I'm excited
genius.
About that. Hashtag
Rob genius.
Exactly.
I love that. It's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's about it. You know, check us out on iTunes. Please rate, subscribe, review. We need that. Again, much love to the Village Voice. And we're going to take you out right now with next week's guest. Jake and Papa.
Mm-hmm.
So check out Starless.
Peace.
And that's the motherfucking truth.